Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the new acronym division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, and the acronym du jour is AAADD, which stands for Age Activated Attention Deficit Disorder. Now, you may have this, or you may know someone who has this.
Yes.
I certainly do.
Yes.
And this, I guess this little write-up to describe it is sort of like a little diary entry. Here it is. I decide to wash the car. I start toward the garage and I notice the mail on the table. Okay, I'm going to wash the car, but first I have to go through the mail. I lay the car keys down on the desk. I discard the junk mail and I notice the trash can's full. All right, I'll just put the bills on my desk and take the trash out. But since I'm going to be near the mailbox anyway, I'll pay these bills first. Where's the checkbook? Oh, there's only one check left. My extra checks are there in the desk. Oh, there's the Coke I was drinking. I'm going to look for those checks. But first I have to put my Coke further away from the computer. Or maybe I'll just pop it in the fridge to keep it cold for a while. I head towards the kitchen, and my flowers catch my eye. They need some water. I set the Coke on the counter. Ooh, there are my glasses. I've been looking for them all morning. I better put them away first. I fill the container with water and head for the flower pots. Ah, someone left the TV remote in the kitchen. We will never think to look in the kitchen tonight when we want to watch TV, so I better put it back in the family room where it belongs. I splash some water into the pots and onto the floor. I throw the remote onto a soft cushion on the sofa, and I head back down the hall trying to figure out what it was I was going to do. At the end of the day, the car's not washed, the bills are unpaid, the Coke is sitting on the kitchen counter, the flowers are half watered, the checkbook still has only one check in it, and I can't seem to find my car keys. When I try to figure out how come nothing got done today, I'm baffled because I know I was busy all day. Now, I don't want to say anything, but you may know someone who has something similar to this, and this is the beginning of it.
Oh, really?
And if you don't know someone, then you soon will. It's like Dusty Chalk's admonition. In 20 years, you'll either be dead or you wish you were dead. In 20 years, you'll either have this or you wish you had it.
Well, if you don't have it yet, you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. Well, I guess I have it, too.
You do?
To some extent.
Well, I guess... What were you just doing now?
I can't remember.
You were giving out the number.
I was?
Is that your Coke? Whose glasses are those?
Yeah. That's 888.
It's so easy to happen.
What?
Well, it's sort of boop, boop, boop. You zigzag around.
You know why? When you get old, you're running out of time.
No,
you got to do everything at once.
I know in my case.
You can't take the time to plan stuff anymore.
Visual cues is what does it. You see something. And it reminds you of something that you didn't do. So you got to do it right then because you know if you don't, you're not going to remember to do it.
Yeah, I started making the list. Oh. I lost the list. Anyway, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Sarah from Waterloo.
With an H?
With an H.
Hi, Sarah.
Waterloo.
Waterloo, Iowa.
Oh, Iowa. That Waterloo. You know where the other Waterloo is?
It's in France, isn't it?
It's in Belgium, actually.
Yeah, but isn't there one in New York State?
Well, I know there's one out west where we lost a battle. But
oh.
Isn't there? Isn't that like Custer's? I don't know. My history teacher.
No. That's a little bighorn or something. But that's all right, Sarah. Let's just go right to your question.
No, but it does bring out the fact how little we all know about history because we just don't give a darn.
Well, I'm a history person, so this is going to reflect poorly on me.
Oh, you're going to be fired. Yeah. You don't teach history, do you?
No, but I'm a soon-to-be college graduate.
So. Now, I'm not. I hate to alienate an entire group. All at
oh,
one
no,
time.
No, you don't. You never have hated.
I have to say that every history teacher I've ever bumped into.
Go ahead.
Every history teacher I've ever bumped into is strange, I'll say. And they all have to, like, coach something in high school because it's like...
No. So you got it backwards.
Scraping.
The first job is to coach, and they say, "Can you teach anything?" No.
No.
All right,
you do history. That's exactly where all my history teachers came from.
Yeah.
I don't want to name any names, but I mean, my history teacher was a complete moron, and he was the coach of something. Yeah. So you're right. They hire him as a coach. Okay, you can play baseball. Great. Teach history. He says, what's that? Shut up.
So it's all read the book, stay a chapter ahead of
the
kids.
Read the book, stay a chapter ahead, give them a test when you feel like it. That's it.
Okay.
And you just majored in this, huh, Sarah?
No, I'm a Spanish major.
Oh, good. Okay. What do you know about Spanish history?
I know quite a bit about Spanish history.
You do?
Okay, well,
what was the Spanish-American War all about?
The Spanish-American War was that we wanted Texas. And no, the Spanish-American War was that we wanted Cuba.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah, go. I know.
See, my brother knows history. How do you know
history? I used to teach history.
Oh, yeah? What'd you coach, soccer? Tiddlywinks.
Coach the chess team.
The chess team. All right, Sarah, come on. What do you really want here? We can't waste time.
My poor car has so many dents and dings in it from being parked in college car lots for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And I saw this device, which looks like 3 suction cups with a bar across.
Yeah.
And then a turnstile to apply torque, which supposedly will pop out all the dents.
Yeah.
And it's $20 in a store, and I can afford $20.
How can you go wrong?
And I was wondering if you have seen this device.
It doesn't matter.
If you can tell me if this device will work.
It doesn't matter either.
I think the one I've seen on TV is called Popsident.
Yeah,
not to be confused with the toothpaste.
On TV, only I've seen it in a store, which means I don't have to pay shipping and handling.
Yeah, because the shipping and handling is $19.95. We were just discussing that before the show. $19.95 for the product, and they get you for another $19.95 for shipping and handling.
It doesn't matter if it works or not, because the whole idea is just so good that you'll have fun doing it. It'll probably work a few times, at least.
I've got a lot of dents.
Well, how many dents would it have to work on to make you feel like you got $20 worth?
Hell, 3.
Sure, maybe even 1. I mean, if you went anywhere and asked someone to get rid of a dent, they wouldn't be able to do it for $20.
That's true.
Buy it.
Okay.
Yeah, we need someone to buy it. We need feedback.
We need feedback. Because I've seen it on TV, too, and it's brilliant.
Well, there are 2 styles, to the best of my knowledge.
The one I've seen is 2 suction cups with the big handle on the front, and you crank it up,
right,
and boom.
And it plays Pop Goes the Weasel, like a hurdy-gurdy.
Exactly. It's brilliant. Whoever came up with the idea deserves your $20, whether it works or not.
Well, I mean, like I said, there's one that works on just suction cups, I believe, that just applies suction to the
The other one, you have to drill holes in the
fence. The other one applies an adhesive to the dent.
Yeah, this one uses an adhesive with this, like, the suction cup thingies, and then you apply the torque, and it's supposed to pop the dents out.
Yeah, I'm just worried that the adhesive may pull the paint off. Then you're in deep doo-doo.
It also gives me something to take the adhesive off. I mean, it's this.
Oh, you won't have to.
Totally self-contained
stuck
kit
to the paint. Well, I don't know. I mean, you'll have to try it. Understand that it's not going to work on any dent where the metal has been bent. You know, metal stretches. If you were to take a flat piece of sheet metal and push on it hard enough, you would deform it. And you would never be able then to get that back to its original shape. Once you've stretched it and you've gotten it beyond what's called the elastic region.
Okay.
No dent genie or pops a dent or whatever it is going to work on that. And it may make it look ugly. Have you considered adding more dents to make the car uniform?
No, it's a nice car. It's a Taurus. I mean, it doesn't look that bad.
I think you should go for it.
See, my suspicion is based on practically nothing. It probably will work better the bigger the dent.
Okay.
Yeah, the little dimples.
The little dimples, forget it.
Yeah.
You fill those in with Bondo.
Yeah. You know, after you're done, this car will look really good at night. Sarah.
Yeah, in the rain.
For $19.95.
Let us know.
You can't go wrong.
Okay.
Give it a shot. If nothing else, you should get a few good laughs out of it. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, any other questions about product evaluations you'd like to ask us? The number is 1-800.
1-888-CAR-TALK. Oh, that's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Byron calling from Waltham.
Waltham, Mass.
Yes.
Hi, Byron.
What's up?
Well, I'm going to be married in October.
Me too, I hope. Still.
And my fiance and I have decided that you guys get to decide among 2 options for what we drive away in from the church.
I got it. You both have a car and you're going to get rid of one of them.
Well, she wants to get rid of mine.
And you want to get rid of hers.
And I wouldn't mind getting rid of hers.
Okay, it doesn't matter what the cars are. Get rid of yours. And that's the end of that story.
That's right.
That's it. Okay, next call.
So what do you drive?
Well, I drive a 1996 Toyota Tacoma pickup truck. It's a 4x4.
Okay.
And the other option is actually not her car, although I do want to get rid of her car. The other option, she wants to drive away from the church in, a Rolls-Royce limousine or some other limousine or a fancy car, and she doesn't think that the Tacoma is appropriate.
Oh, so you really did mean drive away from the church in.
Yes.
You're not really going to get rid of a car.
That's right. So it's the getaway car from the church.
Yeah, man, you are up against it.
Yeah, not only are you up against her,
right,
but you are up against what's called the marital industrial complex.
That's right.
Because there's a whole industry, you know. If you've been privy to this bride's magazine business and all the other workings behind the scenes.
And if you haven't been, you soon will be.
There are forces at work which are incomprehensible. The scope and depth of them are frightening. And you can't fool around. If she wants the Rolls Royce, do it.
Yeah. We have a chapter in our wonderful book titled...
wait a minute. We have a wonderful book?
Yeah, we do. And the title of the chapter is The Cinderella Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it. I mean, think about Cinderella, and the Rolls Royce is the equivalent of the beautiful stagecoach with the horses and
carriage,
the pumpkins.
Carriage, I think they call it.
Carriage, whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Rolls Royce is. And everything is Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that any of us can do about it.
Or should do. I don't think you want to mess, and especially not with a Tacoma 4x4.
Well, I think we should do something about it because it's been thrust upon us by the marital industrial complex.
No, we should as men do something
we
about
should.
It.
It's not individually.
Not this October.
No.
Because you'll regret this the rest of your life.
You don't think I should try and advance the cause because I'll get myself in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. No, leave it to the next guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you want to get out of trouble.
That's right.
So bring up the subject yourself. Don't wait till she asks you. Tell her that you've been thinking about it and you realize what a stupid idea the Tacoma was.
Yes.
And if you're the luckiest guy in the world, she'll say, "Hun, you know what? I thought about it. It doesn't matter to me. If you want to use the Tacoma, we'll use it." At which point you can jump up and say, "Yippee!" But don't count on it, Byron. There's about a 1 in a million chance.
I know. I think she's going to be vindicated here and we'll be driving away in a limousine.
It looks that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a wonderful day whenever it is.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rachel from Memphis, Tennessee.
What's going on, Rachel?
Okay, I have a 1988 Toyota Camry.
Yes.
And it has 161,000 miles on it.
Excellent.
Yes, it is. It's excellent. But recently it's been doing, like, some sort of shaking and, like, the engine kind of knocks when I'm accelerating. And it's worse at slower speeds. Like, it's worse at an idle. And actually, like, one time it died on me and wouldn't start. Like, it had been parked in a parking lot all day, and it wouldn't start. And then it finally started, and I felt like it was going to die at the red lights.
And the whole car is shaking when you're sitting there at the red light.
Well, I mean, not shaking. Like, you know, not like a milkshake or anything, but just kind of rumbling. And, like, it won't go. You know, like, I give it gas, and it's just like, it won't go.
Right. It stutters.
Yes. And so I kind of had a friend help me change the air filter and the fuel filter and the spark plug.
And one more thing. One more thing is going to fix it.
And we tried putting fuel injector cleaner in. We did that first, actually.
Yeah.
And none of those things really seemed to help.
Well... This Camry, which is a four-cylinder, has spark plug wires that have a very long insulating plastic tube at the end of them because the wires go down into the middle. They go into the middle of the valve cover into deep wells that are located in the cylinder head. And what's wrong is that you need those spark plug wires. And while you're at it, you should replace the thing that they attach to, which is the distributor cap.
Okay.
You're running on three cylinders.
Or less.
Maybe two
or
and a half.
Fewer.
Yeah, so it's going to feel real lousy.
Okay.
And, you know, when you get to 160,000 miles, you figure, well, it's entitled to run lousy. But you're going to be amazed at how beautifully this thing runs.
When you put all those wires in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So you did it. Yes, you guys changed the fuel filter yourselves?
Yes.
That's hard.
It was hard. Yes, it was very hard.
Yeah. So this is going to be a cakewalk by comparison.
Good.
You'll
I'm
done
glad.
With this in like 3 or 4 hours. No. No, this is a 1 hour job.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
See you, Rachel.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Bye
bye. All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break. Then we'll come back and answer last week's puzzler.
Last week's puzzler?
You need a clue, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I can tell because, you know what? I know you don't have a clue.
No, I do not. Remind me.
Well, last week's puzzler was about a geographical oddity.
Really?
Yes, it was about, ready for this, always ending up in the same U.S. state, no matter which direction you traveled.
It's very interesting.
Yes, it is, and we'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls, too, in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Her name, it was Martini. She was like a Lamborghini. Beautiful to look at, but the wiring wasn't right. It soon got kind of wearing, having everybody staring. Always feeling nervous when she wasn't in my sight. Well, in the end, I started thinking back to Wanda. She wasn't such a looker, but she was steady as a Honda.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, which was about a geographical oddity.
Kind of like your nose.
No, that's an anatomical oddity. Now, this puzzler was sent to us by Norm Lovelace, and it goes as follows. Imagine you're at home in a city somewhere in these here United States.
Okay.
You might be in your living room even.
Yeah.
And you decide to travel along each of the four compass directions. That is north, south, east, and west. So on day one, you travel due north. And you eventually cross into a new state. You leave the state that
sure.
you started off in and you cross a new state, which we'll call state X, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, you with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. You return home, and the next day you decide to travel due south. Again, you come to the border of your home state and its southern neighbor.
Yeah.
It's also state X.
No kidding.
You return home amazed. Day three, you elect to proceed due east, and you are shocked to find out that the first state you reach is state X.
Wow.
Now, on the fourth day.
Yeah.
I know this might be a shock to you. You travel due west and are soon stupefied to find a sign saying, welcome to State X.
Get out! Now, you mean all four ways you go,
what?
North, south, east, or west,
yes.
you end up in the same state?
Yes.
It's impossible!
Of course it is! Now look, as far as I know, there is only one city in the United States whereby traveling along the four compass points, the main compass points, that is north, south, east, and west, the first adjacent state you reach is identical. The question is, what's the city, and what's the adjacent state?
Wow.
So the crux of solving this is to find a state that pretty much wraps around.
There aren't any.
Well, that's why there's no answer. That's the conclusion I came to. So that was a completely bogus puzzler.
There's no answer.
Yeah, well, guilty as charged. Yeah, no, there isn't any. No, there is, actually. There is. Yes.
Well, I would be curious to know what the answer is.
Well, you don't have to be curious for long because I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the state first.
Okay.
The state is New York State.
So no matter where you go, You hit New York State.
Exactly. And you got to it by leaving the city of Stamford, Connecticut. So if you go north, you actually hit New York State. There's a little piece of New York that sticks out, okay, into Connecticut.
Yeah.
If you go west, you clearly hit New York State. Okay. If you go south, you hit Long Island. You cross, right? You cross Long Island Sound.
Yeah.
And if you go east, you hit the far east end of Long Island, out by where the ferries are, the Orient Point or whatever.
All of which is
New York State. Everyone who lives in that, in those areas has New York plates on his car. Therefore, it's New York State. Pretty neat, eh?
Whoa.
Now, there are probably nine other cities from which you can do this, but in my humble opinion, the only one.
No kid. That is really good.
The only one is Stamford, Connecticut. That's my answer, and I'm sticking with it. Do we have a winner?
We certainly do. Our winner this week is Kathy Foley from Broomfield, Colorado. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Kathy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a copy of our latest music collection, Stairway to Heepdom.
Yes, indeed. Now, you may not know this, but we happen to be the world's foremost authorities on disrespectful car music.
We certainly are.
And the reason we created this niche is because most songs about cars tend to be overly, in our opinion, reverential, you know?
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, which rings truer to your own experience? Little Deuce Coupe or Little Red Vega? Hot Rod Lincoln or Bondo Queen?
Definitely Bondo Queen.
I thought so. Anyway, Kathy, our latest collection of disrespectful car music, Stairway to Heepdom, is yours if you want it for being this week's Puzzler winner.
Congratulations, Kathy.
Oh, good work. Anyway, we'll have a new Puzzler, another chance for you to win, still to come. In the meantime, why not call us with your car problem and listen to us bungle it? We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Susan from Orleans, Mass.
Hi, Susan
Orleans.
From Orleans. How are you?
Good, how are you?
You live in Orleans like year-round.
Year-round.
Are you bored to death?
No, it's really very nice.
Are you retired?
No.
Is your husband retired?
No.
Is anyone retired?
Everyone else is.
Everyone else is retired, right. So what do you do out there all week? Orleans, by the way, for those of you who aren't familiar with Massachusetts, is a little town way out on Cape Cod. It's like halfway or more to Provincetown. It's out on a little spit.
Oh, from Boston, it's more than, much more than halfway to
Provincetown. No, I mean from the piece there that sticks out.
Oh, from the bridge.
For example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way out there, and there's a lot going on in the summer, of course, but there ain't much going on in the winter, at least as far as I know. Maybe you know more.
Well, no, there's plenty going on, and we have kids, so they're in school.
Yeah. See,
right.
Tommy thinks that unless there are, like, riots and demonstrations going on outside your front door, that it's boring. And you should live in France for a few years.
Oh, I go there pretty regularly.
No, Tommy should live in France.
Why?
Because
there are riots
and demonstrations
every day
outside your window. Anyway, Susan, what's going on?
I have a Toyota 4Runner, a 97.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the weather's gotten nice, I've got the windows down. And on the left side of the car, there's this noise that sounds like the springtime peepers. Peep, 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 peep.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't change. I can accelerate. I can stop. It just makes this noise. It used to do it for about 15 minutes, then 30 minutes. Now it's like 45 minutes before it stops.
And it
doesn't seem to matter if I speed up, slow down. It's just this beep, 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 beep.
I'm not going to like this.
Oh, no.
This is going to be painful. You ask her the question.
No, I'm not asking. No, I'm remaining neutral.
You're
on your own, Susan. You ask the questions.
So you get in the car. You got to be moving, though, right?
Yeah, as soon as I start down the driveway.
Yeah. And do you go out the driveway backwards or forwards?
Well, I start out, I have to back up, and then I go forward down the driveway.
And so the noise starts as you're backing up.
Right.
And doesn't change. When you get to the end of the driveway and you step on the brake, does the noise continue?
Yes.
When you stop, it stops.
No. It keeps going until about, like I said, it started out about 15 minutes and 30 minutes. Now it's like up to 45. And that's why I was getting concerned. I have to drive this car for a long time.
Why?
None of your damn business.
I want to know.
Oh, Susan.
You say that you've driven this all winter.
Yes.
And you think the noise was there during the winter?
Well, I don't know because I didn't drive with the windows open. We had a lot of snow.
But you heard it. You heard it as soon the first day you opened the window.
First day I opened the window.
And if you here's this for a test. How about if you close the window now?
I don't hear it.
Oh, Susan.
All right, so it's pretty subtle.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone else in the car can hear it.
Here's an important question. Will it go away if you turn the engine off?
Yes.
All right, good.
Yeah, no, we're there.
All right. I think Susan needs a belt. And I don't mean the kind that's under the hoodie.
I think you need a belt, too. I think she does, too.
Yeah, I was going to suggest the kind of belt you get from a bottle of Jim Beam.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you this time.
So it's just a belt.
Well, I think so.
You can verify this because the vehicle does not have to be in motion to hear the noise. You can actually open the hood when it's making its noise the worst and see if you can actually hear it louder by opening the hood and listening.
Okay, and that's why it would stop after a while?
What generally happens with belts is rubber actually is one of the things that will shrink when it gets hotter. And so a loose belt or a worn belt will often make noise when the engine is first started, but then as it runs for a while, the noise will go away.
Okay.
You know, so I think it could be.
And it does. You say it lasts for up to 45 minutes and then does go away.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't figure out what would stop. Why wouldn't it just get worse?
Yeah. Well, eventually it'll stop because the belt will break. But you must have like 50,000 miles on this thing?
89.
I think you're ready for a belt.
See, okay. When you're in Orleans, you got to do anything to get out of there and get where there's excitement.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why she's got so many.
I have to go to Boston occasionally.
That's right.
Yeah, and those trips to France really put the mileage on, too. See you, Susan.
Okay, thanks so much.
Good luck.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Steve out on Southeast Farallon Island.
Where's that?
Where?
Southeast Farallon Island. It's about 28 miles west of San Francisco.
So you're out in the middle of the ocean someplace?
Yep, we're out near the continental shelf.
No kidding.
Are you in the water, on a boat? Where are you?
No, I'm actually standing up at the lighthouse, up on top of the island.
Well, I hear the seagulls.
Oh, yep, there's about 16,000 of them. They're all out here.
Oh, either that or it's a loose fan belt.
No, it's seagulls.
Are you wearing a hat?
Nope, not right now. In a few more weeks, I will be.
I've always found it important to wear a hat in the presence of seagulls.
That's a good idea.
So what do you do out there? Are you the lighthouse keeper?
Nope, I'm out here researching seabirds.
So how long have you been on this little island?
I've been out here for 7 weeks now.
Really?
Yep.
And so,
is anyone with you?
Yeah, there's five other folks that I'm working with out here.
Are they all girls?
Any girls?
Yeah, there's two girls.
Two girls and four guys.
Yep,
if my math is correct. Boy, somebody made a mistake there.
Wow.
Well, anyway, what's going on, Steve?
Okay, well, we have this Webasto tractor trailer cab heater that we're using to heat the hot water for our two-story home, and the circulation pump on the Webasto no longer works.
Webasto.
Webasto. It was made in West Germany.
Ah, okay.
And the problem is that the circulation pump on this hot water system no longer works, and we're not able to heat our home. But the big problem is that we're not able to take hot showers. And taking showers out here is worth its weight in gold because we're handling dozens of birds every day, and we get defecated on all day long by these birds 7 days a week. So our clothing is encrusted with this bird guano.
Okay, I don't think we need to know any more than that.
And how long has it been since you've taken showers?
A bit.
A bit?
Yeah, longer than he cares to remember.
How cold is the water there?
Yesterday it was about 11 degrees Celsius.
That's like, what, 50?
Yep, around that.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you guys if there's any way that we may be able to fix this circulation pump. Our resupply does not come out for another 2 weeks. And we have a bunch of parts out here that we may be able to fix it with. The unit runs on diesel, and we have about 7,000 gallons of diesel in a plastic bag in the front yard. And we have four outboard two-stroke engines and a pipe fitting shop and a machine shop. And we're trying to figure out some way that we can circulate this water into the house so we can take showers.
Now, and you thought of calling us?
Yep. We used to be able to tap with a hammer or something like that, and it would click back on, but now it doesn't work at all.
So let's Webasto thing. This is a hot water heater.
It's a hot water heater for a tractor trailer. That's why I called you guys.
For a tractor trailer?
Yeah, it heats the cab on the larger tractor trailers where someone would be sleeping in.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there any vehicle whatsoever on the any gasoline driven engine on the island? Any place?
Well, we have outboard motors for our boats.
But they're not water cooled, are they?
No.
See, if you had an engine that was water cooled, you could use the water pump of the engine to pump water into this heat exchanger. And you could then get hot water that way.
Yep.
But you said you have 7,000 gallons of diesel fuel?
Yes.
What the hell are they doing with that out there?
I figured you guys would ask. It used to be used to power the buildings out here in the lighthouse, but about 6 years ago, we converted over to solar power. So now we have a 9-kilowatt solar array on top of our powerhouse, so we no longer need all this diesel.
All right, well, that's what you're going to do. You're going to lop off one of those solar panels, and you're going to run your hot water through the solar panel. When we were kids...
These are photovoltaic panels. They only produce electricity.
Oh, gee. See, you guys are too high-tech.
Is there any way you could just put a tank on the roof somewhere?
That's what our plan is to have some sort of black bag or black can and at least heat the water up that way. Or what we've been doing is just heating water up in large quantities on the stove.
Yeah, well, you've got 7,000 gallons of diesel fuel. You might want to put that to good use. But this is an electric motor.
Yes, it's an electric motor.
Well, maybe it's just that, you know, I'm just taking a wild guess. Maybe the brushes are just stuck.
It could be.
Yeah, why don't you unplug the thing first, Steve? That would be the first step.
Yeah, have you haven't taken it apart?
No, we haven't taken it apart.
Do you have a screwdriver and a hammer?
Yeah, we have plenty of those.
All right, well, I think you've got to take it apart. You may discover that there's just a stuck brush. And if tapping it ever got it to work, it seems to tell me that one of the brushes was stuck or the commutator was rusted. So you may be able to just
clean it up.
And the commutator you'd want to clean with sandpaper.
Okay.
And then make sure that you all stand back. You need to draw straws to see who's going to plug it in.
Okay.
And stand back. You may get the thing to run. And I hope for your sake you get this thing running soon. It sounds like it's a desperate situation there.
It is.
I wouldn't call it desperate yet, but yeah, we could definitely use this unit before our resupply comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, the alternative is to set the island on fire, and those planes will come, you know, the ones that drop the water. And
just... we can't do that. This is a fish and wildlife refuge.
Oh, geez. All right, you're taking all the fun out of it. Good luck, Steve. But try cleaning up the commutator and making sure the brushes are nice and free, and that may get the motor to work.
All right, well, thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Wow.
Bye.
Jeez.
No showers.
Why didn't they call us?
Birds are taking a crap on your head every day, and you got no way to take
it. Life is tough.
You'd think they'd have a couple of spare pumps.
Well, they do have the Pacific Ocean there.
Yeah, but at 50 degrees.
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah. But you'd be surprised. A few more days without a shower, and it'll look pretty good. All right. You have an idea what's coming up next?
Of course. The third half of the show.
Pretty good. Yeah. And with that third half of the show comes what? The new puzzler.
I'm not stupid, you know. I mean, I know how many halves the show has. It's got three halves. And don't think I haven't noticed that there are three halves divided by two hosts, which means two-thirds of the time, I'm doing three-quarters of the work around here.
You lost me right after the I'm not stupid statement. Anyway, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler and... more of your calls in just a minute, so stay tuned.
What did Yogi Berra say? Half of baseball is 90% mental.
Well, I drive all night, all day.
tell you something, mister, I ain't gonna mess around.
And even though mathematicians try to figure out how 1 plus 1 can equal 0 whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And I had to change this around a little bit, but not much. It was sent in by a fellow named
what
Tom.
What was the term we used? You had to...
Unclarify.
Unclarify. Yeah.
Anyway, this was sent in by Tom Downs, and I think it's kind of cute. I don't know where he's from because he's from Emailville.
Emailville. Right? It's like Pottersville, right.
He says, the other day I was in the local auto parts store, and a teenage boy came in, and he waited in line at the parts counter, and when his turn came, the fellow behind the counter barked at him and asked, "What do you want?" He says, "I want a 710 cap." Mm. Everyone looks at one another. "What's a 710 cap? What's that?" He says, "You know, it's right on the engine. I open the hood, and it's right there. And somehow I lost mine." And everyone looks, 710 cap. They say, "What does it do?" "I don't know what it does." He says, "Look, I'm a new driver, and I got my license 2 weeks ago. My father made me promise that every time I drive the car, before I get into it, I have to open the hood and look around underneath to make sure that everything looks like it did the day before, that the belts look all right, the fluids are full, the hoses are okay. And I noticed that this 710 cap, which has been there every day that I've driven it, was missing, and I need a new one." "Well, what kind of a car is it?" the fellow behind the counter asks, and I figure, geez, it's got to be like a Datsun 710. Remember those?
"Of course."
And he says, "It's a Buick."
"Buick?
Buick?
Buick 710? What's that?"
He said, "What does this thing look like? How big is it?" So he makes a circle with his hands, and he shows that it's about 3 inches or so in diameter. He says, "Oh, gee, that doesn't help me. Can you draw me a picture?" So he hands the kid a piece of paper, and the kid draws this cap, and he writes 710 on it. And while he's drawing it, I'm looking over his shoulder, and I got no hint. But the guy behind the counter stifles a laugh and says, "I know exactly what you want. And the question is, what did the kid want?" Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. What happened to the mahogany, the Louis XIV mahogany desk with Carpathian elm burl? I mean, what happened? Was thinking post FCC, huh?
Write it on the back of a Rolex watch.
Exactly. Or better still, write it on the back of two Rolex watches or a $21 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you have a question right now and you can't wait for a wrong answer, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Greg from Detroit. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Greg.
We're doing all right, Greg. How are you doing?
Good. I got a great car I'm in love with, and I think it's dying, and I really need your advice.
Okay.
93 Miata.
Yeah.
170,000 miles.
Ooh.
On it. Now I'm told I have 1 or 3 oil leaks.
Hmm.
I've got one mechanic telling me put a little schmatz in there, you know, a little gunk, and that'll seal it up for a while. And but he won't guarantee his. He wants to replace the rear seal.
Oh, that requires taking the engine out.
Yep, and he says he won't guarantee that job.
What will he guarantee?
Well, what he'll guarantee
He'll guarantee
is
about $800 worth of labor.
Yeah. He'll guarantee if I put the gunk in, it'll stop leaking for a while and that eventually I can go to a rebuilt engine and he'll get me the price on that.
Got it.
I've got a second mechanic telling me that there are 2 other places where the thing's leaking. He wants to do $900 and he will warranty all 3 gaskets that he's replacing.
And what's he want to do again?
It's a head something, but it's not the head gasket. It's the rear main seal.
How about the valve cover gasket?
There you go. It's
that's
the valve
$20.
Cover gasket and the oil pan gasket.
And he wants to do all that for $900?
He wants to do that for $900.
Run right over there, Greg.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's going to guarantee it for 12 months and 12,000.
If you can find him in Florida. You'll be working at the marina.
See, yeah.
Here's my concern. 170,000 miles is a lot of miles for this Poor little
engine.
I love
this car. You know, they've redesigned the body and the Miata. The lights don't pop up and almost block your vision. I love that.
Oh, you like that, huh? You
I love it.
Well, when that car first came out, with the pop-up lights, I made the statement that if they fixed that, which was the stupidest thing I ever saw, I would run right out and buy one. So 3 or 4 years later, they fixed it.
Have you bought one?
I ran out of money. And it wasn't a real promise. It was just wild speculation. See, I'm just wondering if you should wait, because almost all of this $900 is the labor of taking out the engine.
Right, they got to drop the trans.
Exactly. So I'm just wondering, should you wait and spend all that when you're ready to put another engine in it, which it's got to be close to needing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for a little over $2,000,
right,
you can put an engine in this thing, a rebuilt engine.
That has no leaks.
Right.
And
it
has,
run it.
And no miles.
Right.
Yeah, so my advice would be to drive it like it is, put the additives in.
Right.
You know, the schmutz there that you want to put in.
Schmutz.
Put the schmutz in. Put two cans of schmutz in.
I worry about schmutz, though, but you guys say do it.
Why worry? It's got 170,000 on it. What's the worst that can happen? It throws a connecting rod bearing. It's going to do that anyway.
Anyway, right. Yeah, no, I would not spend the $900. I would use the schmutz.
Yep.
And just wait until you
need the engine. And invest that $900 in the stock market.
Uh-huh.
And then when it comes down to $400, call us back.
I'll do that.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Good luck, Greg.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is now?
Time to fertilize and weed your beard?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a previous caller, sometimes literally, and see if we gave him or her a correct answer.
Who's our lucky contestant this week, man?
It's Mary from Wisconsin. Remember Mary? No, you don't.
What, I'm supposed to remember everything? I don't remember Mary.
I don't either. It says here, Mary called us several months ago because she had purchased a 65 Ford Galaxy, sight unseen, and then found out it had a little problem.
Unless the car's really warmed up very well, I can't get it into gear.
It's an automatic?
Yes. And when I go to leave for work in the morning, sometimes I go to put it in reverse and it won't pop into gear.
The shifter moves, right?
The shift moves.
But nothing happens.
But then I have to floor it and then it will go into gear. But it doesn't happen all the time.
It's perfectly normal.
That's how they ran in 65 too.
Have you had a lot of guys looking at you when you're driving this car?
Uh-huh.
That's why you got it, huh?
Yeah. It's an accessory.
Hey, I should think of my car as an accessory, don't you
think? Yeah, an accessory to a crime. So anyway, what did we tell Mary? I don't remember.
Well, you played bad cop, I played good cop. I suggested maybe she just needed to put transmission fluid and a filter in the automatic transmission. It would be okay.
Oh, yeah.
And you were the bad guy, as you usually are, and you told her transmission was schwavot.
Well, let's see how we did. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
No, we have not.
And the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced in any way by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, the guys in the black coats who came to visit you the other day, or by the gift certificate to Pappy's Old Time Transmission Repair Shop and Denture Sanding Salon that we sent to you? Okay, great.
Well, so what happened? Did you need a new transmission?
Well, I took your advice, and I went and had the transmission fluid changed, but not before I went to the second opinion site.
Oh, you went to our website?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And a couple of people left emails for me saying that I needed F-type transmission fluid.
Yes. Type F, yes.
That's right.
And so I put in F-type transmission fluid, and this car is the greatest car I've ever owned.
It fixed it?
Yep.
You mean my brother was right?
He was. You got to give him credit every once in a while.
Every once in a while, yeah. Well, that's great, because that was pretty cheap.
Yes, it was. And I'm really glad it wasn't a transmission, because I would have been very depressed. This is the first car I've ever purchased on my own.
Great.
Yeah, well, it's pretty obvious.
I know.
And everything's working?
Uh-huh.
How about the accessory option? A lot of dates?
No.
No, that part's not working.
I think it's a little intimidating. People want to drag race.
Yeah, because I think the guys think you're a gearhead.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, you need to leave your pocketbook on the dashboard.
No, I have the fuzzy dice and I have the hula dancer.
Oh, well, you have the hula dancer. That might do it. Well, you just haven't bumped into a guy with the right kind of sense of humor. But
right, you need a nice parolee who went in like 1969 and doesn't remember anything except these cars.
Mary, thank you so much for being on Stump the Chumps.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you happen to hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, you can email your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or if you can't wait, you can call and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-782-7825. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Bill in Sonoma County in California.
Hi, Bill. What's going on, man?
Well, my problem is this. My conscience is kind of eating at me. I guess it's that residual Catholic guilt, but here's the story. I'm a travel writer, and I was driving my rental car in a trip in, well, let's just say Northern Europe, in case the tourist board is listening, and I knocked on a few bread and breakfasts, but no one would take me in because it was too late at night, so I decided to sleep in my car, which was a Ford Fiesta, and I found a road leading down to the bay, and it was a full moon shining on the water, and I thought, well, this is great. I have a room with a view. It's kind of small, but it's nice. So I climbed in the back seat of the Ford Fiesta to sleep, and about dawn, I wake up, roll over, and my arm flops off the seat and splash, and the car is filled with water. So I whip off my eye shades, and I sit up and look around, and I am surrounded by water.
Really?
The tide has come in.
It didn't wake you up in the night?
Oh, the tide came in.
The tide had come in. And so I'm scrambling over into the front seat, and the gas pedal is just about underwater, and the car starts.
Sure.
So I managed to back it up out of the water, up the road, and I open the car doors, and the water, like in a movie, comes, you know, rushing out. And
the fish are jumping up.
Yeah. But so this is my question. Since I've been home, I've told a few people about the story who
But
were
you
laughing.
Didn't tell the car rental company, did you?
No, so that's been
Neither did our producer, Doug Berman, when he did the same thing.
Oh, someone else is as stupid as I am.
Ah! No one's as stupid as him.
Well, this is a close competition.
Doug and his wife were on their way to a wedding. Where was this, in California? Yeah. You want to come in and tell us? But anyway, they decided, as best I can remember, they decided to take a shortcut, which was taking them through a dry riverbed that wasn't dry.
Right.
Uh-huh. And Doug said...
And, of course, his wife, the brains of the family, says, oh, now we have to turn around and go back, Doug. And he says, no, we don't.
It's a rental car. They'll never know if anything happens.
So he drives into the middle of the thing. The car stalls out, and he's done for. He's in the middle of the river, and
so
he's all
he
dressed
is.
Up in his tuxedo.
In his tuxedo. Up to his ankles in water, up to his knees in water. And later than that, he's at the do-it-yourself car wash place with the vacuum, trying to vacuum all the water out of the carpets. Yeah. So he returns the car, and so far...
They haven't caught him, but they will now.
Well, so my question is, you know, because of the salt water, and someone said the underside of the car body will eventually corrode. I mean, it could take years, and I know that car rental agencies often sell their cars down the line, and I just can't live with the thought that, you know, 5 years from now, some mother's going to be driving her kids to school, and suddenly, boom, the bottom of the car is going to fall out.
Well, so you're thinking in terms of like an anonymous tip or something? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, no, I don't care. I'll just tell them.
You just tell them.
It was me.
And you just get it off your conscience.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly.
Wow.
Mm. Well, I don't know that the danger that you see is likely.
Okay.
No, in fact, the first time it rains and that car is driven through, puddles and whatnot, the underside of it will get cleansed and all that salt will get washed away.
Even if it was, like, soaked up inside, I mean, because, you know, it went into the bottom part of the motor and everything.
Well, the motor, it wouldn't hurt the motor. If it were going to hurt the motor, it would be done for by now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
What's more likely is that the water that got into the passenger compartment...
That's the biggest problem.
...might cause a problem.
And the problem it's going to cause is a smell, because it's going to get moldy under those carpets.
Well, you know, I sat there with my... T-shirts trying to wring out the carpets, and I drove around the next 5 days with the heater blasting and windows open. And
oh, you did.
So I thought, well, maybe they'll just think I spilled a 7-Up on the floor or something, but...
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Yeah.
But, you know, my my punishment is that, you know, all the my film and cameras were ruined.
Yeah, I guess the way you've rationalized it, you've already paid for this. Right? I mean, this is a case where everybody pays. No, you have to buy new cameras. They have to buy a new car.
I think you have to come clean, Bill.
Okay.
I think you have to tell them what happened. They'll probably tell you, oh, that happens all the time. Don't worry about it.
Well, they'll probably laugh and...
Yeah, I don't think they'll be too worried about it.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to have any long-term effect. If they can figure out which car it is, they can...
Oh, they'll know. They'll know.
They'll know. Yeah, they can pull the carpet out and really dry it out, and I think it'll be fine.
I'm ready to come clean. So.
And we think Doug Berman should do it, too. Yeah. What was that? Was that an Avis rent-a-car? He's lying. He said it was Avis, but it wasn't Avis.
Yeah.
We'll find out from his wife.
He's cheapskate. Okay. It would be someone.
Yeah, she's
cheap.
The honest one in the family.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
See you, Bill.
Hey,
bye.
Bill.
Good luck
to you.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. Well, it's happened again. You've misappropriated another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frogman. Is that frogman referred to the incident with the
car? Yes, it does.
Drowning the car?
Yes, it does.
Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Mirror Masher Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug, the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Greater Ross, Salad Toss, Minty Floss, Sauteed Moss, Avocado by Haas, Albatross, and Tartar Sauce. Call Red Cross is John Bugsy Lawler.
Good man.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our summer wardrobe coordinator is Bermuda Schwartz. Our director of staff bonuses is Ray Vaughn. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the parking space stalkers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And please, don't drive like my brother.
And don't forget, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1021, putter through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a commencement address to remember.
As in, remember, never invite those two bozos again.
Exactly.
This week, we're disinterring audio clips from a commencement address that we gave a decade ago at our alma mater, MIT.
That was the year their endowment dropped by $500 million.
Yeah, right after you finished speaking, in fact. Anyway, if you'd like to hear clips from an event that will never, trust me, never be repeated, check out our MIT commencement address all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, "Ah, oh, pass the trans fat," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.